Open your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. We got our new camera in, and we're trying to get it to work right. So, Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 is where we're going to pick up this morning in our study. And invite you to find your place there. And when you're able, stand together. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. I know some of you probably came today expecting a Thanksgiving message, and I'm going to talk to you about a lot of things that we have a lot to give thanks for. How's that sound?
Amen.
Matthew 7, verse 13 is we're going to read. Let's pray, and then we'll read our text this morning. Brother Mike, will you lead us in a word of prayer? Amen. Amen. While you're still standing, verse 13, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. Amen. Please be seated. If I can take just a second to kind of bring you up to speed with where we're at in the Sermon on the Mount, and for anybody that doesn't know, what's happening is we're studying about the kingdom of God. We started all the way back in Genesis at the beginning to get an idea of how God established his presence on earth, his kingdom on earth, how that mankind corrupted that, and how he made covenants with his people throughout time. To promise that he was going to establish his kingdom forever. And then we've really come to how what it means to live in the kingdom now and be a part of the community that is the kingdom of God. And we've been walking through the Sermon on the Mount. In chapter 5, in the beginning, verses 1 through 12, we talked about the character of those who are in the kingdom. And this is really about the quality that comes from the change, the inner qualities of those who are part of the kingdom. If you're part of his if you're a citizen in his kingdom, and it's the heart that God gives those who believe in him. And so it's about character. He deals with our hearts before he deals with how we're supposed to live. So he moves from character to conduct. And in chapter 5, verses 13 through 20, we talked about the conduct, the outward witness, the righteousness of disciples of Jesus, how we're to be salt and light in the world, and how we're to live that life that fulfills the true meaning, the true heart behind God's word. And then we moved into kingdom corrections, and we spent a lot of time here. It's chapter 5, verse 21, all the way to verse 48. And there's six main corrections that the Lord gives about anger and lust and divorce and oaths and retaliation and loving your enemies. And he goes through and just systematically dismantles the rabbinic teaching of the day that was going against his truth and bringing them to an understanding of the heart behind the law, because at the heart of every problem is a problem of the heart. And so he brings them through that. And then chapter 6, he starts to talk about communion, about what it means to have true devotion to the Father. He talks about things like giving and praying and fasting. And it's about living in that communion with the Heavenly Father and how we live out our relationship with him in the kingdom. Chapter 6, verse 19 to 34 was about convictions. It's about getting our priorities straight in our lives. He talks about our treasures and our loyalties. He talks about seeing clearly. He talks about trusting him and seeking the kingdom first and not living a life filled with fear and anxiety, but trusting in the Lord. And so he walks through those ideas of conviction. And then in chapter 7, verses 1 through 12, he really starts dealing with community, our relationship with other people, and how we want to examine ourselves. We want to be persistent in prayer. And last time we talked about the golden rule. And can somebody tell me what the golden rule is?
Treat others the way you want to be treated.
Okay, thank you. All right, I think there was a lot of that around the room, just not as loud as Mike is. Okay, so the golden rule is to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. We talked about how there's a lot of other things in the world religions who have something similar, but all of them are negative. Don't do to people what you wouldn't want them to do to you. And so there's this idea of you're kind of, it's really self-preservation, but Jesus calls us into something greater. Not just don't do something bad to somebody because they might do something bad back, but to do good to people. So think about it. Like show some perception and think about, if I was in their shoes, how would I want people to treat me? And then do that. Amen. Go out of your way to do good to other people. That's kingdom living. And now we come to the commitment. And really, here in verse 13, all the way to the end, Jesus is calling those who would live in kingdom, in his kingdom, the kingdom of God, into decisive obedience. And he's going to give us four sets of two here, two gates, two trees, two professions, and two foundations as we move towards the end of this chapter. And what the Lord's going to teach us is that you have to make a decision. He's given you a lot about the kingdom and how awesome the kingdom is and the blessings and all the things that come with it and how it's different than anything you've ever been taught before, and it's greater than anything you could ever hope for, but you have to choose. Amen. And your dad can't choose for you, and your mom can't choose for you, and your wife can't choose for you, and your husband can't choose for you, and your kids can't choose for you, because let's just face it, if anybody who's in the kingdom could choose for everybody else, we would. Right? If I could make the choice for my friends and my family and everybody I meet, I choose the kingdom of God for everybody. But it doesn't work that way. I don't get to choose for you. You don't get to choose for me. You must make a decision about Jesus. And there are people who want to stay neutral. They want to think they're Switzerland or something, and you can't be Switzerland in the kingdom. Question. You have to personally make a decision. And so, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. And I hope you feel the weight of that and understand that there are many people who are on a wide path straight into destruction. Amen. And it ought to grip our hearts to know that. Right. And then he says, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads unto life, and few there be that find it. And it ought to burden our hearts to know that there are very few people in the grand scheme of humanity that are going to find the way to life. Amen. It's heartbreaking. Amen. He says in verse 15, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that brings not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. So we have the gates, now we have the trees which bear the fruit. And then look at this, verse 21. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Amen. So we have here two professions, two sets of people, somebody who says, Lord, Lord, and another person who says, Lord, Lord, but not both of them have a true possession. It's just with their lips. There's no genuine faith. And one's going to end in destruction and the other ends in life. And then he comes to verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Amen. All of these, Jesus here, as he comes to the end of his sermon, he's painting this picture. And I hope you can see it. He is calling his listeners to a decisive response. The Sermon on the Mount is not a list of do's and don'ts. It's not a list of do this and you get to go into heaven, and don't do that and you won't get into heaven. He is leading up to, he's telling you what the kingdom is all about, and he's leading you to a decision. He is commanding a response, and he says, enter ye in. It is an imperative. It is a command. And he gives us four pairs of contrasts that force us to examine the sincerity of our hearts and our lives as disciples. And he's using these four sets, and they just build up. He's using this dualism on purpose, because all of these two choices are the same. Okay? He talks about gates, he talks about trees, he talks about professions, he talks about foundations, but the questions, the determination, the decision is the same: life or death. Amen. It's one choice between two things, life and death. That's it. And can we just examine the fact that today in our life, our lives are filled with choices every day? Amen. Amen. I mean, you had to decide whether to get out of bed this morning or not. You had to decide whether to eat breakfast. And if you decided to eat breakfast, then you had to decide what to eat for breakfast. You had to make decisions. We make decisions. You get in the car to drive somewhere. Some of you, you take the same way every day, but some of you take a different way sometimes. And you make a decision. Shall I turn left or shall I turn right? Right? We make decisions throughout the day. We make decisions all the time. And I guess one of the greatest decisions we face every day is what's for dinner. Or Lord help you if you're out in the world with your wife and you've got to eat out and you have to make the decision, where are we going to eat? It's one of the hardest things in the world, isn't it? What is wrong with us? Melissa and I have been married for 21 years, and we've done this since the beginning. But I want to tell you, just a couple weeks ago, my mom and dad are in their 70s. They had been married for a really, really long time. And the other day, we were leaving somewhere, they were going to go eat, and they had the conversation. And I stood there, and I was just amazed that after all these years married, they're still having the same conversation that Melissa and I have after only 21 years. Where do you want to go eat? I don't care. Well, let's go to McDonald's then. You know I don't like McDonald's. But I thought you said you didn't care. So I guess you do care, right? Nobody else knows what I'm talking about. Decisions. When we're young, we make a lot of decisions that impact the rest of our life. What am I going to do after graduation? Am I going to go to college? Am I going to go to trade school? Am I just going to go to work? If I'm going to go to work, where am I going to apply? If I actually get the opportunity to work more than one place, which place am I going to work? Am I going to date this boy or this girl? Am I going to choose to ask her the question? And then she's got to choose whether to answer the question with a yes or a no, right? Where are we going to live? Where are we going to go to church? I mean, it's decision after decision. Some of them are really small and some of them are big. Some are really vital and critical and important and life-changing, and some are pretty mundane. But the reality is we're faced with decisions all the time. And Jesus is bringing us to a place of decision. He commands, enter in at the straight gate. Amen. The question is, will you enter in at the straight gate? He calls us. He calls us to be good trees that bear good fruit. Amen. But will you? He calls you to not just be a professor of Christ as Lord, but to actually possess him as Lord and to be possessed by him as Lord, not just to know him and to be known of him. Amen. He calls you to build your life on the rock. But the question is, will you? What he's really doing is saying the same thing he said in the beginning. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19 says, the Lord says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death. Amen. Amen. Blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. Jesus Christ is giving the same decision to you today that he gave to Israel so long ago. Amen. Life or death. blessing or cursing? That seems like a no-brainer. Right? Like, I mean, literally, if somebody comes in front of the room and says, do you want to live or do you want to die? Most reasonable people would be like, hold on, let me think about it. I'm not really sure. I mean, if you're given the choice, do you want blessing or do you want cursing by God? Well, you know what? I think I'll just go with the blessings. And we're faced with this choice every day by our faith and by how we live out our faith. So that's the questions. And the early Christians knew about this. There's an early Christian writing called the Didache, which was produced somewhere AD 70 to 120, probably around the same time that John was writing the book of the Revelation. And it's called The Teaching. That's what it means. And it's kind of subtitled, The Teaching of the Lord to the Gentiles through the 12 Apostles. So you got early Christians writing about what the apostles taught. So early commentary, if you will, early teaching. And it provided some basic moral instruction on and things about teaching on baptism and the Lord's Supper and church structure and being prepared for Christ's return. That's the things they were, how do we live for Jesus until he comes back? They were focused on that all the way back then. Amen. And by the way, that's what we ought to be focused on today. But the first point, 1:1, is this. There are two ways, one of life and one of death. But a great difference between the two ways. Isn't that good? Amen. There are two ways, the way of life and the way of death, and there is a vast difference between the two. So what do you choose? Number one, Jesus commands us to enter in at the straight or the narrow gate. Now, when I was growing up, the word straight meant without curves, not crooked. Okay? That's the way we understand it. When this was written, the word straight here in Matthew 7 and verse 13, enter in at the straight gate. The word straight means narrow. So it's a narrow way. It is a restricted way. So just think of it in that, not the idea of not crooked, but constricted. It is a narrow way. And it's an imperative. Jesus isn't giving a suggestion. He's not asking you a question. He is telling all of his listeners, and listen, there were multitudes who had come, who were unbelievers, and there were his disciples who were there. So it was a mixed multitude of people there on the mountain with Jesus. And he says to every one of them, enter ye in at the straight gate. He is giving a command. And you must make a decision. It is imperative. It is a command. And you have to come in the straight gate. This way is straight. It is restricted. It's not wide. It's not open. And there's a lot that we can learn from that. First of all, you go in the gate one at a time. Amen. Amen. As much as you want to take your family with you through the gate, you have to go through the gate on your own. You have to make a decision. It's restrictive. It's narrow. It is tight. And only one person can pass through at a time. Amen. What does that mean? Well, have you ever had to go through one of those turnstiles where it's complicated for even one person to go through? It's dangerous business to go through those things. But you go through one at a time. You can't physically go through with more than one person. And some of you, the next time you see it in a turnstile, you're going to be like, I bet we can go through together. Could see it happening. But when it comes to this gate Jesus is talking about, the gate to life, it's one at a time. Amen. It's one at a time. It's restricted. You must humble yourself. Amen. You must humble yourself to go through this gate. In order to enter to life, Jesus requires repentance and faith. You have to humble yourself to go through this gate because you can't come through with your pride. Amen. You can't come through with your sin. Amen. You have to turn away from your sin. You have to turn away from your unbelief to go through this gate. Right. It's restricted. It requires faith. You can't go through this gate without believing in the one who invites you or commands you to go through the gate. You don't get to go into the gate that leads to life without believing in Jesus. It's his gate. He is the door. He is the only way into the sheepfold. And you have to go through Jesus to get in. And by the way, there's only one way. Jesus isn't a way. He is the way. So you have to go through him. He is the door. He is the gate. He is the way. You have to come through him. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved other than the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. I know that people think there's a lot of different ways. I know that they think that heaven is just goodness and light, and there's lots of ways to get there, but there's only one way. There's only one way, and there's only one who died, who laid down his life and took it up again. Jesus is the way. You have to repent. You have to believe. And this gate is a narrow way. Look at verse 14. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life. It is a straight gate that leads to a narrow way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. No man comes to the Father but by him. He's it. Have you guys heard any of that before? Amen. That there's like the other side of it where people are like, there's lots of ways to get to heaven. You know, you may call it the light, or you may call it the path, or you may call it the way, but as long as you have faith, we're all going to get there. Have you ever heard any of that before? Amen. Yeah, I've heard it. And it makes my stomach sick every time I hear it. Amen. Because what somebody's doing, and some people with a big platform are standing up and saying, listen, you just have faith in something and you're going to be fine. But people have faith in a lot of things. Amen. And it doesn't end well. Amen. How do I know? Because Jesus said that it leads to destruction. Amen. Leads to death. He says few find it. Somebody once said hell is full of people who admire the Sermon on the Mount but are not actually on the narrow way. Hell is full of people who admired the Sermon on the Mount but were not on the actual narrow way. A lot of people look at Jesus' teachings and they're like, man, he was a great teacher, and he was a man full of love, and he was a man full of compassion, and he had some of the greatest teachings the world has ever known. But listen, Jesus was a good teacher, the greatest, but he wasn't just a good teacher. He wasn't just a man of God. He was God, the man. The Sermon on the Mount is the greatest sermon ever preached. It's got the greatest truths that have ever been shared with mankind. It is absolutely wonderful. Amen. But it's not just about thinking that it's a great teaching. It's about believing in the one who taught it. Amen. It's trusting in him alone. In Luke 13:23, then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? Are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. There are a lot of people who are going to try to find their way. They want to get into heaven. They want to be saved. They want to have life. But they're not able to. Why? Why wouldn't somebody be able to enter in? Is God trying to keep people out? Is he actively trying to hold people back? Listen to me as plainly as I can say it. God became a man who lived a sinless life, who died on the cross so that you could be saved. Amen. He is not actively trying to keep you out of heaven. He did everything so you could come into heaven. Amen. You say, but it's a narrow way. It's restricted. Yeah, of course it's restricted. The only way is through the one who died. Amen. The only way is through the one who defeated death. Amen. Of course it's a narrow way. So Jesus commands us to enter in. And then two, notice this, you must turn away from the broad gate. It's your choice. You must make the choice. I don't know who said this first, but to not choose is to choose not. You get that? It's a little profound for me. I have to mull on it for a second. To not choose is to choose not. And maybe you sit here today and you say, you know what? I'm not going to choose. Like, I'm just going to kind of live my life. I'm going to do my thing. I'm going to go my way, and everything will be fine. But I want to tell you, dear friend, when you choose not, when you don't choose, what you're saying is, I don't want Jesus. Amen. You're choosing not to repent. You're choosing not to believe. You're choosing not to enter in. So therefore, you are on the broad way. Amen. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. This gate demands nothing. This gate is wide open. It lets anything and everything through. So you can come through the broad gate. You can go through that gate with your pride. You don't have to lay down your pride. You don't have to humble yourself. Take your pride with you and go through the broad gate. Go through the wide gate. Go on the broad way. You can take your sin with you. This wide gate and broad way is open to anything and everything under the sun. You can live any kind of lifestyle you want to. You can go on through that gate and go on with your life. Amen. You don't have to repent of anything. You don't have to lay anything down. You can take it all with you. It demands nothing. It's open to your pride. It's open to your sin. It's not only that, it's open to your self-righteousness. This gate doesn't demand that you say, you know what, I'm not good and I need God's help. No, you don't have to say that. You can say, I am good and I keep the law and I obey God and I live an upright life. I am a good person. I'm not like these other people. I'm better than they are. I am religious. I pray every day. I fast twice in the week. I give my tithes and my offerings and I am a good person. You can hold on to all of that and go through. You can go through. With your self-righteousness, you can go through with your self-indulgence. You can take all of your addictions with you. You can take all of your sin with you. You can take all of your fornication with you. Every bit of sin you want to take, you can take it right through. The gate is wide. It'll fit you. All of your sin, all of your pride, and all of your friends can just walk right through, shoulder to shoulder. You hear me? Many there be that go in there. It doesn't demand anything. And it is a broad way. It's not restricted at all. It's easy. It's easy. It's wide. And you have to be careful. You have to be careful not to get too close to the edge one way or the other. You can just kind of swerve all over the road like most people who do drive. Some people, when they're driving on a regular highway, a two-lane, they just take their half out of the middle, right? You can do that on the Broadway. You just drive wherever you want to, go wherever you want to. Nothing matters. It's free. It's free. Crazy thing about roads and ways and paths is that they lead somewhere. Amen. And this path may not require anything for you to get on it. The gate is wide open. You can just come right on. And it may be easy because it's broad and there's no restrictions. You can drive as fast as you want, wherever you want. But at the end of this road is death. Amen. There's no other way to put it, friends. It's destruction is at the end of it. And it might have been easy to get on there. And it might be, you might even have a good time while you're driving. For a moment. Amen. But at the end of it is death. At the end of verse 13, he says, many there be which go in thereat. And at the end of verse 14, he says, few there be that find it. And these words grieve my spirit. This means that when we're talking about percentages, the higher percentage of people are headed to destruction, and the smaller percentage of people are headed to life. Which means, friends, listen, which means that when you're in a room like this and there's a lot of people, or when you're out in a group of people at school or at work, or you see a crowd of people anywhere you go in this world, or when you just watch television and you see the masses of people in other places in the world, or you just look at a globe, look at a map of the world, the majority of people in the world are headed to destruction. Amen. It's terrifying. Right. Now, of course, you're here because you believe in Jesus and you are here to worship Jesus. So that means in this crowd, at least I hope, everybody here knows him. You've made your decision. You've chosen to go through the narrow gate, the straight gate, and on the narrow way. You're on the narrow path. Well, if you are, it's not because you're a good person. It's not because you got baptized. It's not because you talk nice to your mama and you don't kick your dog. It's because you put your faith in Jesus. Amen. You're trusting in him alone. Amen. That's how you enter in. Amen. So what do we need to do today? Repent and believe the gospel. Genuinely repent. Amen. Repent is the Greek word that means to change your mind. So what do? We change our mind about our sin, about who God is, about who Jesus is. You change your mind about your life and you say, I don't want to go that way anymore. I am changing my mind away from sin, away from destruction. Amen. And I'm making a decision to go through that straight gate. I'm going to enter in through Jesus. Amen. Repent and believe the gospel. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and trust in him alone to save you. He is the only way. Amen. And then give all of yourself to Jesus. Continue in obedience to his word, no matter what the pressure is. These words, straight and narrow, have a lot to do with pressure. And let's say this, there's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of pressure to live the Christian life. It's not easy. I mean, some of you guys have been saved a long time. Is living the Christian life easy? I mean, we just read all these things that Jesus teaches. Is it really easy to not be angry? Is it really easy to love your enemies? Is it really easy? Is it really easy to pray the way we're supposed to pray? And to fast the way we're supposed to fast? And to give the way we're supposed to? Is that all easy to you guys? All right, well, whoever thinks it's easy, I need you to talk to me afterwards, because I'm not getting it. Because I don't think the Christian life is easy. I think that when people make me angry, I want to respond and be angry back. I think that I want to keep what I have for myself and not give it away. I think that I would rather sleep than pray sometimes. I'm just being honest. And I'm trying to tell you this morning that living the Christian life, not only is it difficult, I'm going to tell you this, it's impossible. You cannot live the Christian life on your own. You have to learn to die to self and depend on the Spirit of God. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leads to life, and few there be that find it. It'd be really awesome this morning if I could look around the room and just see by looking at you what road you're on. But I can't. I can't see into your heart. I can see some evidence, fruit in your life, but I don't know the reality of your heart. But you do. This morning, sitting in this room together, you know in your heart what road you're on. I believe that. I believe that God allows us to know. When you're on the road to destruction, you're going to know it. You say, what about those people who deceive themselves? Lord, Lord, did we not do all these things? What were they doing? They were trusting in their works. And I think deep down in their hearts, they knew they were trusting in their works. And I'm going to tell you this. If you're trusting in Jesus, you know you're trusting in Jesus. So have you entered in the straight gate? Are you on the narrow way? If you're not, I got great news for you today. You can trust in Jesus this morning. Amen. You can do what Jesus commands here. Enter in the straight gate. What does that mean? Believe in Jesus. Choose him. Choose his way. Amen. You can make that decision this morning. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. Our musicians are going to come. And I pray this morning the Holy Spirit's convicting your heart about any decision you need to make. You make it today. I got a news flash for you. You guys ready? Look around the room at all the people in the room. Go ahead, turn around. Look at all the people. Everybody you see in this room is a sinner. Everyone, especially if you look up here. We have all sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. I am on the narrow way because I'm trusting in Jesus. And for no other reason. This is not a question of being a better person. This is a question of trusting in Christ alone. So have you entered in? Are you on the narrow way? If you're not, you can get on that path today by trusting in Christ alone. Turn away from your sin. Turn away from your unbelief. And can I say this? It's Thanksgiving. I thank God that he made a gate. I thank God that he's made a way. I thank God that he's allowed people like me and you to get on that gate, go through that gate and get on that narrow way. So praise God if you're headed the right direction today. If you're going the wrong direction, if you find yourself on the way to destruction, turn around. Turn around and trust in Christ alone. If he's convicting your heart, you come while we sing.